Just want to welcome on this Easter Sunday afternoon. If you could just tell your neighbors, kind of tell them, he's alive and he has risen. Would you tell them? That's the Christian message. He's alive and he has risen. And my question to you is, do you believe what you just said? Do you believe what you just said? I know I may sound a little offensive, but this is the vital question that I must ask. What you just said, do you believe it? He's alive and he has risen. The reason I'm asking is if you do believe it, could there be a greater message that you could possibly tell anyone? I don't care who it is. Could there be a greater message? So I think what I'm trying to say is, whether you're at a point in your life where you don't believe it, you kind of know it, but you don't believe it. You kind of believe it, but it doesn't really affect you. I don't know exactly what that means, right? Or you do not believe it, period. I don't know where you are. You may be in different places, but what I'm trying to reason with you is that if resurrection is true, there is nothing greater, nothing that determines your worldview greater than the resurrection itself. Do you agree? Right? What is college if there is a resurrection? I mean, college is important, of course. But in light of resurrection and eternity, I think it becomes a different thing. Even marriage becomes a different thing. Even marriage becomes a different thing. Success, money, what, you know, it everything becomes a different thing. So I ask you to listen today. Maybe you've been going to church all your life. Maybe you're joining for the first time in a long time. Maybe even for the first time. But the Christian message is resurrection. It really is. Okay, so today's message, as we explore Christianity, topic is resurrection, and today's message is Jesus, resurrected Jesus, appeared first to Mary Magdalene. Okay, a lot of people have a different view of who Mary Magdalene is. Mary Magdalene is, a lot of people think she was a prostitute or something. No, she wasn't a prostitute. We do not know much about her, but she was in the band of women who was following Jesus, and these women were at the feet of Jesus when he was crucified, when all the disciples were gone, men were gone, just a few ladies. Shame on men, right? I don't know what's up with men, right? Only few ladies. And on the third day, 3 days later, when Jesus was raised, it wasn't the disciples, it wasn't men, it was ladies who came to see Jesus on the tomb. Okay? Isn't that kind of interesting? Right? And among the four ladies, Mary Magdalene, and only thing we know about her is that she had some sort of demonic possession or illness. Seven demons were casted out. So she doesn't carry a very glorious resume at all. But isn't it interesting, out of all the humanity, it was Mary Magdalene, the God of the universe, resurrected King, appeared himself for the first time. And then I think in and of that itself, I think is a great message. For those of you never seen it, if you go to Palestine, the tomb looked like this. Very different than American flat ground, or Korean, look like a dome, or, you know, different things. But it looks like it's a cave, and you cover with a door, stone door. And usually this thing is about 2,000 pounds. Okay? 2,000 pounds. Of course, it's for the rich people. 2,000 pounds. Just could you try to imagine that? Can you move that 2,000-pound thing? Right? And after Jesus was placed in here, which was ordered by Pilate and the Roman government, And Jesus was a very powerful political figure. And they wanted to make sure Jesus doesn't get, they don't lose him, right? So they covered the door and sealed it, which means don't you dare to touch it. If you touch it, you're going against the Roman Empire. You become a person who's treasoning, okay? So you can't do that. And then heavily guarded by Roman soldiers, right? That's the background. I'm trying to set up something here for those of you who, I don't believe in resurrection. I don't even believe in Jesus. I don't even think he was a historical figure, and you need to do some homework. There is more evidence of Jesus resurrected than any other historical event in history, better fitting. And, you know, we went over this thing during the summer. Harvard Law School, Harvard historians, they agree with that kind of statement. So don't just brush it away. Okay, I don't think you should do that. Okay, so let me just read what it says here. Christianity is the religion of open tomb. And I would say only Christianity is the religion of open tomb. Do you know of any other? Everyone's dead. Everyone's dead. Only Jesus, he came, walked on earth, and he died, really died. And there is that journal in the Medical Journal of American Medical Association, JAMA, in 1984. Right? That Jesus really died. Okay? And he was raised in 3 days. Christianity is the only religion of open tomb. It separates everything else. Okay? Because of resurrection. Okay? And today, in John chapter 20, it says, when Jesus rose early on the first day of the week, Jesus appeared, the resurrected Jesus appeared first to Mary Magdalene. So interesting, Mary Magdalene's name shows up in every gospel, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John. And this fact is highlighted in the Bible, historical account. There's got to be some message to it, don't you think, right? It wasn't Peter, it wasn't a man, it wasn't a religious person, it wasn't an educated person, it was none of those, it was Mary Magdalene, okay? And this is today's text. I'm going to just read it one more time, what Pastor June read already. Okay, picking up from verse 11. But Mary stood weeping outside of the tomb because body's gone, resurrected. Really don't know what's going on. Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. And as he wept, she stooped to look into the tomb, and he saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had lain. One at the head and one at the feet. Can you picture that? Okay. There are two angels. And then there is empty tomb with just the gown that was just left there. I'll show you the picture. Okay. One at the head and one at the feet. And they said to her, the two angels, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." Having said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing. This is the first time anybody that we know of saw resurrected Messiah, King of Kings, right? And guess what happened? She did not recognize him. There was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? And who are you seeking?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." So you kind of know up to this point, Mary Magdalene came to see dead Jesus, not alive Jesus, right? Okay. And then Jesus said to her, "Mary," I don't know how to do that, but the way Jesus probably used to call Mary Magdalene, "Mary." And then something happened. She turned and said to him, Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. And Jesus said to her, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father, but go to my brothers. I highlighted everything because everything is important here. But go to my brothers. Who's that? Disciples. Since when they were his brothers? I don't know. Just now, right? Go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending. Now, disciples are having trouble even believing that he's alive and he was resurrected. And he's asking her to go and tell them, I'm ascending. Ascending to where? To whom? I'm ascending to my Father and your Father. Who's your Father? Sounds like Mary, doesn't it? And then disciples. Wow, what a message this is, if you think about it. And to my God and to your God. Okay? And here is the highlight of Mary's life. Mary Magdalene went and announced, proclaimed to the disciples, I have seen the Lord. I have seen the Lord. And that he has said these things to her. Okay, that's the text. Okay, what separates Christianity? Those of you who believe in Christianity, okay, and then there is of you who are seeking, those of you who are hearing for the first time. What separates Christianity from all the other religions? First, tomb is empty, resurrection, period. You must consider this. You must consider this. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. If you believe in me, you will never die. Who could say something like that and get away with it? If I were to say that, you would like, you know, you will laugh at me, right? Who could possibly say, if you believe in me, you will never die? And was he kidding? You think? Absolutely not, right? And how could he possibly say that? Because he was crucified for your sin, right? And the sins is atoned for, which means it's cleaned up, and now he's dead. But what happened? 3 days later, he was raised. Why? Here's a theological reasoning behind it. God's justice demands him to be alive because the death could not hold him because he's sinless. Sin, well, he was sinless, period, but he took on your sin, my sin, imputed, you know, sin upon himself, and everything was exhausted and propitiated on the cross. So when he died, he is sinless. So the perfect justice of God could not hold him dead. So his resurrection vindicates and demonstrates his perfect holiness and righteousness. We sang it today. He is holy. You better believe it. Why is he alive? Why has he resurrected? Because he is righteous and holy. But here's an amazing thing. By doing so, he was justified. Justification. He's righteous. And then there is more to it. What about us? It proves that his atoning work on the cross is valid, and it was offered to God as a ransom payment, and it was taken, it was fully paid and propitiated, and it was taken care of. Therefore, it proves that and vindicates that you are righteous if you believe in Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 4, verse 25. Wow. That's amazing, isn't it? You don't have a single sin remaining on you if you are in Christ Jesus, when God sees you. I don't know how you handle something like this, but that's the Christian faith. And what's the proof of that? What can we cling on to? The resurrection. It's a game changer, that's why. If resurrection is real, it's a game changer. Okay. So tomb is empty. And what separates Christianity from all the others? It's God seeking you. Isn't that great? God came to us. right? And God walked on his earth for you. Perfect righteousness. And he took on your sin upon himself, imputed your sin upon himself. He bore your sin and my sin. And he gave himself for us on the cross because he loves you, right? And then he was resurrected, and even after the resurrection, he's the one who's seeking you. It's so funny because human beings don't even want it, right? If you really believe the judgment is waiting for you and the wrath of God is waiting for you and it's upon you, as the scripture says, you should be seeking him, no? But usually human beings don't seek him. They just want to run away, right? But he's seeking you. Christianity is the only religion that God seeks after man. All the other religion is man seeking after God. It's reversal, man seeking after God, but Christianity is God seeking man. I hope you see the difference, okay? Rather than man seeking God. And lastly, Christianity is about grace, which means it's all God's work. It's all God's work. Every other religion is work righteousness based, man righteousness. You seek, you do. And that's why how you try to earn salvation. Christianity says, no, you could never do that. You could never do that. The more you try, the more you miserably fail. In fact, Christianity starts from the beginning. You don't even seek God. You don't know God. You don't understand God. Romans chapter 1 and chapter 2. Isn't that amazing? Okay. What separates Christianity from all the other religions? Revelation 1, 17 and 18. Fear not. I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I died. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Who are we talking about? Who's talking here? Who could possibly fit to this description? Can you name one person? Revelation chapter 1 says, I am the first and the last. He's the creator. And he's the one who's going to judge and consummate every person. He will, brothers and sisters. Don't try to brush this off. He will. Right? And he's the living one. I am the living one. I died. And behold, I'm alive forevermore. Right? Death cannot hold of him because he is holy and righteous. And resurrection vindicates that, proves that, demonstrates that. And I take the keys of death and Hades. That's hell right there. Okay? Okay? So, the message was, it's so interesting, Mary Magdalene showed up. Can I just ask you, why do you think, I know this is speculation, but do you think Jesus, resurrected Jesus, appeared first to Mary Magdalene? Can you try to reason with me? Okay. Why do you think it happens to be Mary Magdalene, the resurrected Jesus, appeared first? There's got to be a reason, no? I thought about this question, actually. You know why? Couple of things I thought about. Number one, she was there. She was there. She was there at the foot of the cross when he was dying, and he was there at the tomb. She was seeking always. Don't you think? She was there. And secondly, someone answered this like this. I think she really loved Jesus. Why would someone seek that person, even to the tomb, even at the cross, when everyone just disappeared and abandoned to save their lives? But she had to stick around with Mary, mother. Why? It's got to be love, don't you think? I mean, these are speculations, of course. But try to reason with me. Would you like to see Jesus in your life? Maybe we should start seeking, right? We should start seeking. So she resurrected Jesus, and let me just go back to, right here, okay? Now, Jesus said, do not cling to me, for I have not ascended to the Father. There are different ways to interpret this. People say, don't touch me, because I'm holy. If you touch me, I get contaminated. I don't think that's what it means here, right? I think Mary Magdalene was so, like, amazed. She kind of clung onto his feet or something. And Jesus is saying, no, it's not time to cling onto me. I have a mission for you. I'm going to be around for a little bit more. And that's the kind of interpretation I would take, okay? And then the task is this. Don't cling onto me, but I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers. As I already explained, since when the disciples are brothers? First time it is ever listed as brothers. It was the disciples, it was the slaves, and John chapter 15, friends, which is amazing. But now Jesus is saying, they are my brothers. Very, very gospel and very, very Christian. Jesus is our brother. What kind of Jesus? Jehovah, resurrected Evangelion, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, is our brother. I want to just pause because if resurrection is real, what could be a greater message? Your job interview tomorrow. Your wedding date 6 months later. Your health. I mean, those are important things, of course. But let's put things into perspective. Really. I mean, really. Let's try to put things into perspective. If resurrection is real, that he vindicated, he's holy and righteous, and he calls us brother and family, what could be a greater message? Right? And then he said, go to my brother and I have a message for you. So what that makes Mary what? Someone that Jesus is sending, or apostle. The word apostle means to send. So she's the apostle to whom? All the disciples who will be the apostles. Right? It's an amazing picture if you could think with me. Spurgeon says, I was reading his sermon this week. Mary Magdalene is the first one who saw resurrected King, and God made her the apostle to the apostles. Oh my goodness. If you could see that. What a life. I don't know what she was before. I don't know what her life was before. I do not know, and we do not know. We could only speculate. But we know she had 7 demons. Perhaps it was a sickness. Perhaps it was a cancer. I don't know. We don't know. 7 demons, and Jesus, she met Jesus, and Jesus healed her. And she was regenerated, I believe. And she followed him to the foot of the cross, to the empty tomb. And she's the one who first meets the resurrected Christ. And Mary, I want you to go to my brothers and tell them, I'm ascending. This is the message I want you to tell them. I'm alive, therefore I'm ascending to my Father and your Father. And to my God, and to your God. That's the Christian message, brothers and sisters. I don't know whether that excites you or not. Right? If someone's life could be turned around like that, if someone could be used in a way that she was used, right? And God wants to use you, right? As what? I want you to go and tell my brothers whom I pay the penalty and tell them I'm coming back. I'm ascending. I'm coming back to my Father and to your Father, to my God and to your God. Isn't that amazing? What message could be greater? Oh, he's gonna heal your, angry heart. I mean, that's a great message. Many of you are living with anger. And by the way, we are going to Lola Ministry today. Oh, what an amazing battle this is. The more I get involved with this Lola Ministry, what an amazing battle this is. Because every single person to come to know Christ is a miracle. Can you say amen if you agree with me? Can you say amen? It's a miracle. For your parent or your spouse or your child to fully surrender to Christ and living a different life is a miracle. Or else we live like a fool according to the scripture, and then you stand before God. You're going to stand before God. You're going to stand before God. Every single one of you. Holy God. And there's going to be a book. I already explained this already. Everything you have done is written in the book of life, book. Everything is recorded. You cannot hide it. And I'm not trying to scare you, because that's what it says in the scripture. Okay? Everything you have done is recorded in that book. When you stand before me, in other words, there's no way, no, I didn't do that. In fact, you won't be able to, I don't think we'll be able to even open our mouth. Right? I want you to go and tell my brothers, I'm ascending to my Father and to your Father and to my God and to your God. Okay? Those of you who listen to this message over and over and over again and brush off all the time, you should listen, because time is up. Okay, time is up. Okay. Pray that your heart will be resurrected and the life will sprout out like my tie. That's what this represents. Yeah. Out of my dead heart, life of Jesus sprouts out. Don't you want that? Aren't you tired of sitting in the church and try to brush off? It's so tiring, isn't it? It is so tiring, isn't it? Just a couple more. I want to explain. I really wanted to do this for this particular service. I'm not going to go over everything. If you are interested in this kind of topics, if you search our website, we have messages and sermons about validity of resurrection. Can we really trust it? Is it historical? Things like that. And you don't even have to look at our website. You could, if you want to know, you could email me. I could email you the references. But I want to give you a couple of logical, very, very strong evidences that Jesus' resurrection is a fact of history. Fact of history. Okay? Five things. It's rise. R-I-S-E-N. Risen. Excuse me. Risen. Okay? The rise of Christianity in Jerusalem. Why is that such a big deal? If you think about it, it was during the Roman Empire when the Caesar was worshipped. If you worship anyone else, you get persecuted and you get killed. But Christianity it rose up like crazy over the next 200, 300 years. How do you explain that? And besides the fact, it was in the background of Judaism, where Christianity is considered as a cult, and what they wanted to do is just destroy everybody. And how do you see Christianity rising in historically? Can you explain that? That's a great strong evidence. Number two, the incredible persecution and the death of endured disciples. 12 disciples for next 40 years never denied Jesus, and they were flogged and killed and stoned and speared. And yet they never deny Jesus, and they were all killed for what they say they believe, which is the resurrection. How do you explain that? Number three, the shift of belief and practice by thousands of the Jews, Jewish religion, to no longer animal sacrifice. You don't need to do it. And they turned to Christianity. How do you explain that? Number four, evidence of the trustworthiness of the Bible. Bible is so reliable, right? We have so many manuscripts from thousands of years ago, right? 66 books span of 1,500 years, written by 30-some authors, and it makes sense. Incredible consistency. How do you explain that? Could you just think with me? If you just brush off, I'm sorry, but if you could just think with me, how do you make sense out of these things? And fifth reason, how do you explain empty tomb? No skeptics. And people who try to destroy Christianity cannot come up with a reasonable reason. They can. Okay? How do you disprove resurrection? People try to disprove resurrection so hard, but they cannot come up with a theory. They can't. Hallucination? How could 500 people see a dead person at the same time and hallucinate together? Right? How could Jewish people steal from a tomb like that, guarded, heavily guarded by Roman soldiers? And he was a very political figure. They would not let him go like that. There is no theory that disproves, okay? If the resurrection is historically reliable, and I hope you begin to think about this, if it's real, right, this is what it means. And try not to brush this off, okay? It demands your decision, your verdict, because you're going to stand before him. Yeah, you will. Okay, and it vindicates that his claims and words are true. It vindicates that he's holy God because the death could not hold him any longer. And whatever he claimed is true. And if you have any argument against him, you better have a very strong one. If you can have any, right? And he's God. If you believe in me, you will never die. And he said, he's alive and he's coming back. And he's coming back any moment. That's what the scripture says. Be ready. Right? And he will judge the living and the dead. Acts chapter 17, God has assigned a person who's going to be judging and living and the dead. And how do we know that? That he was raised from the dead, referring to Jesus. Okay? So, yeah, evidences for the resurrection. Simon Greenleaf, okay, Harvard Law School professor, probably smarter than most of us, do you agree? Smarter than me, right? Harvard Law School professor, Simon Greenleaf, regarding to historical Jesus. He concluded, according to the laws of legal evidence used in court of law, this is United States Court of Law, right? There is more evidence for the historical fact of the resurrection of Jesus Christ than for just about any other event in history. Do you understand that? Okay, one more. A person who rejects Christ may choose to say that I do not accept it, but he may not choose to say there is not enough evidence. There is enough evidence. Okay? Just one more. Thomas Arnold, professor of modern history at Oxford. Pretty smart person, right? Reliable person. Historically, as a historian, he wrote, thousands and tens of thousands have gone through the evidence which attests the resurrection of Christ. Thousands of people have gone through it. Try to disprove. We don't even try, but so many smart people try to disprove. Historically, piece by piece. As carefully as ever a judge summed up on the most important case. I have myself done it as a historian many times over, not to persuade others, but to persuade myself, satisfy me. I have been used for many years to study the history of other times and to examine and weigh the evidence of those who have written about them. And I know of no fact in history of mankind which is proved by better and fitter evidence and every kind than the resurrection. I just pray that this will at least start triggering you. If you just want to consider Jesus and resurrection as a myth and something to brush off, that would be unwise, I think. Okay, Chuck Colson, during the Watergate scandal in the 70s, Richard Nixon had a Watergate scandal, and he was one of the key leaders. And he went to prison, and he met the Lord there, and he started prison ministry later on. Okay, he is, I forgot which school, he's a lawyer, and he's a politician. And this is what he said, okay, if you could just, I think this is the last one. I know the resurrection is a fact, and Watergate proved it to me. How do you do that, right? How? Because 12 men tested that they have seen Jesus raised from the dead. That's 12 disciples, apostles. Then they proclaimed that truth for next 40 years, never once denying it. They all, every one of them beaten, tortured, stoned, and put in prison, and they would not endure. They would not have endured that if it weren't true. Watergate embroidered 12 of us, most powerful men in the world, and they couldn't keep a lie for 3 weeks. We all gave up in 3 weeks. You're telling me, and you're telling me, 12 apostles could keep alive for 40 years. And he concludes, absolutely impossible. Okay, what is he saying? Resurrection is an absolute historical event. What do you plan to do with that? Seriously, my brothers and sisters, I just pray that this message of resurrection will begin to shift your thinking, because there is no greater game changer than the resurrection. It'll change. It's the central worldview changer. Your worldview, you all have one. The lens is the success of an American dream. Can you make sense with that? Right? Your lens is, I don't know, most pleasure in this world for me. That's most people in the world. I gotta have most fun. Can you make sense out of this? If this is true, brothers and sisters. Resurrection message is central to Christianity. And I really ask you to consider this and not to brush off. Just want to go back to Mary Magdalene. Mary Magdalene was a woman we don't know much about. I don't think she had anything that we could be proud of in terms of resume. It doesn't say anything in the Bible. But it happens to be Mary Magdalene, the resurrected king, appeared for the first time. And then assigned her this great mission. Go to my brothers and tell them, right? I'm ascending. In other words, she's taking the resurrection message and she's going even further. I'm going to my Father and your Father. I'm going to my God and your God. So she went, okay? So she did. Right here. Mary Magdalene, she went and announced to the disciples, I have seen the Lord. Right? I have seen the Lord. And that he had said these things to her and delivered the message like an apostle, like an ambassador, like a Christian. Right? Can you go home and tell your family members, he has risen? You should. You should. He's alive. He's coming back. You should. It's urgent message. Urgent message. If resurrection is true, that's the urgent message we must deliver. Let's just bow before the Lord.